Proper Sport at 6. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello, welcome to the FL 72. Sam and Tom with you for the next hour, talking all things Football League. On the show, we're going to be talking the last 7 days at Leeds United. Things have changed. Ellen Road back in possession of the club, as well as a supporters advisory board as well. We'll be finding out whether Tom Carnduff is going to be joining that particular organisation. We'll talk Bradford City, Sheffield Wednesday signing George Boyd as well. What a signing that is. John Terry going to Aston Villa. How about that? Simon Grayson taking over at Sunderland. His replacement been announced in the last hour. Alex Neil going to Preston. Pep Clatet, he's a new manager of Oxford. We'll talk transfers, where today Burnley have made an £8 million bid for a Nottingham Forest striker. We'll find out who, plus lots more beside. Loads of transfer gossip to come. And I say hello to Mr. Tom Carnduff as well. We've not seen each other in a couple of weeks. We've both been on holiday. We'll find out how was Las Vegas. And here he is.
Hello.
Mr. Penn and Teller himself. How are you doing, Tom?
Mr. what?
Penn and Teller.
What's that?
The magicians on in Vegas.
Oh, I didn't see
you. Didn't
there.
See any of the no. magicians, did you?
No, I didn't see any magicians.
Did you see any bits of magic in Vegas?
Not magic, no. Hmm? No. Went to see the Blue Man Group, that was cool.
Is that the highlight? All the thing, just... is that the acceptable face of highlights?
Oh, it's all acceptable. What are you on about? It's all fine. You made me feel on edge now. You made me feel on edge.
You're a liar.
It was good. How yeah. You've been away.
I've been to a completely different place than Las Vegas. That is the middle of France.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
No blue men. No magic. Not much. It was very hot for the first week, and then it rained.
Really?
The second week, yeah.
It's 45, 47 something degrees when we were there, so it was melting, literally melting.
Excellent.
Yeah, we're back. That's the important thing.
I'm glad you had a good holiday. Still not an haircut, though, have you?
Since no.
We'll talk plenty of football across the next hour. Loads going on at the minute. Exciting time. I pretty much got back yesterday, so
yes.
I'm unaware of a lot of things that have happened. So it's going to be an
great
haircut for the next hour. But luckily for me, I've got Tom Carnduff's running order, two-page running order. Well, one page and one line.
It was a notes page, that.
Cheers, Tom.
Yeah, I don't want to like shorten the text.
Killing trees, you're like Donald Trump.
Yeah, I shouldn't shrug on Facebook. But yeah, well, it's a notes page, isn't it? So you can write stuff down that you think of during the show. Yes. Space.
Indeed, and breaking news, you can write it down as well, because
exactly.
Alex Neil is the new manager of Preston. We'll talk about
that
in a bit. But first, let's start off with Yorkshire news, as we always do. And well. Leeds United, always things happening at the particular club. And the last 7 days, loads have been going on.
All very positive as well. Very
eerily positive.
Positive,
strangely positive.
Yeah, strangely positive after the last couple of years, I suppose. But it just seems to be going in the right direction on and off the pitch. So, yeah, a couple of additions as well. Felix Wiedwald being the latest from Werder Bremen. That throws into question Rob Green's future at Leeds, but it's kind of shown the extended transfer network Leeds now have, where they're pretty much going all over Europe. They've got someone in from Holland, someone in from Germany now, looking at getting someone in from Spain as well. So that's quite exciting. Off the pitch, the supporters advisory board, of course, Ellen Road being purchased as well by Rad Rezani. It's all very positive, all moving in the right direction, and pretty much the perfect time for it to start moving in the right direction, because you're going to get people excited for the new season.
The ownership of Ellen Road
has
been contested for some time in terms of will the club buy it back, won't they? Different owners have come in and promised to do it. Andrea Radrazzano was the same when he spoke to Radio Yorkshire a couple of weeks ago, when he came in and started making his first statements to the press, and within a couple of weeks he's done it. This not only signal a great positive that he's been able to achieve this in such a short space of time, but for the future, you know, this man clearly has a vision, and he's setting his stall out, and he you kind of believe him now. You he's got instant trust with the fans.
Yeah, definitely. I think what's kind of struck me the most about when you listen to that interview he did, he said it as in a meh. Like, it was just kind of, yeah, I'll buy Elland Road. But it wasn't like a big, you know, I remember when Chiellino said he was going to do it. He made this big thing about he's going to storm down to the bank the next day and, you know, buy it straight back. Whereas Rad Rosani just kind of said it in passing comment. Like, oh, yeah, I'll buy Elland Road back. Yeah. And then we'll do this, we'll do that. It's like, right, okay, that's quite, I don't think he realised how big of a thing it is to Leeds fans, to Leeds support. The reaction it got was just so positive. And yeah, to him, it just seemed like one of the many things that he seemed to have to do when he got here. But incredible, the fact that he said he's done it. He's done it pretty much straight away. The amount of money that would have cost as well. I think 20 million was the quoted figure to do it. And on top of that, it doesn't seem like the transfer kit is really taking a hit either. Moving to get players in from abroad, like we said, the incoming Samuel Cez, as I want to call it, because it's more fun, from Spain. I think that's a quoted £3.5 million fee for that as well. So it's all really, really positive at the moment. Really good move, of course. Thomas Christiansen as well. I think that's probably the biggest gamble I've had to take all summer, but it could work out quite well. He's got quite a good track record, especially in Europe, in the Europa League. So all positive, all exciting as well. And like I said, for this to be done at the start of July, you're encouraging people to buy season tickets. You're encouraging people to go and buy the merchandise, really encouraging people to reconnect with the club ahead of a season, which is only, what, a month and a bit away. It's all just going to come back and kind of benefit him in the long run, if you think about it. We're just re-engaging that support with the club that may have been lost over the past couple of years.
Yeah, and a supporters advisory board. Yes. You're a fan of that kind of dialogue?
Yeah, it's really, really good. I think any club that involves supporters in the running of a club in any way is good. I'm not quite overly clear what this is going to be. It seems to be that, you know, any supporters' concerns, what they want to change, will be through this board. They're going to meet with, I think it's Angus Kinnear, James Mooney as well, who does a lot of, obviously, the media press stuff. So it's going to be a lot of all areas are covered, plus other senior figures. So it seems to be they want people from all areas of the Leeds support as well, which is great, because then, you know, most, if not all, supporters are going to be represented in some way. It's really positive. It's really good to see Leeds doing that. And again, Rad Rosani, his presence on, you know, Twitter, on social media, someone tweeted him the other day when Leeds released the training kit. It's a really nice training kit, by the way. It's lovely, right? But people were going on the website, and I think obviously the amount of traffic that this got people, they said, oh, you know, it's online if you want to look at it. People were all going to it, and it just caused a backlog of traffic on the website. So someone just tweeted him saying, you know, this is annoying. It was a problem last year. It's happened again. And he's basically just put, yeah, I know. It's something that I'm aware of and we're working on to fix it. It's just like little things down to that. It really, like, he has come in, or maybe used that 6 months beforehand to really assess everything that was a problem and is now tackling it. Now he's in charge. It's just really positive.
Yeah, things are going pretty well at Leeds. Happy with the business done so far?
Yeah, it's quite exciting, actually. I think it is whenever you buy a player from abroad that, be honest, you know, we're not all experts and don't frantically watch Dutch football. I mean, personally for me, I do like the Bundesliga, so I have seen a bit of Wiedwald before Spanish football as well. So it's that excitement that you can read about a player, you can see the clips, etc. It kind of just all adds to it, that it's quite that, you know, we don't know what we're going to get, but the reports, you know, you read that this is a really good player. Of course, it doesn't always work out like that, but got to be happy with the business that they're doing. By the sounds of it, Leeds aren't going to do much in the domestic market. I think they were saying that, well, we can get better players for cheaper abroad, so we're going to go for that, which is, I suppose, fair enough. But yeah, really excited. It's really good business, and they seem to be spending money early on into the window.
We are live on Facebook this evening. Make sure you get involved with the show. A few people doing so already. Good evening to Gary listening in Exeter, Leeds fan and season ticket holder.
Commitment.
That is commitment. What a round trip that is, week in, week out. Paul Hume looking good going forward. We are Leeds. He says, Philip, good evening to you, Philip. He says both West Yorkshire side spending big. Huddersfield with Tom Ince as well. And yeah, that move going through from Derby County. Tom Ince, does he do it for you? I'm not convinced by him, to be fair.
I think his last couple of years in the Championship might help him this time going back into the Premier League. You know, he's been at Derby, and Derby are never getting promoted, so it's fine. So now he's gone to Huddersfield, who are, of course, going to be Premier League. He's been there before, had the experience before, but the fact is, the position, he's obviously a winger, but he contributes so much in goals and assists. I think that's really going to help him going forward into a Huddersfield side that will probably suit him with the quick pace style of play. It's a good move, and as well, it's kind of good to see them looking at the Championship as well, like kind of taking the best players, getting Danny Williams, of course, from Reading as well, who's a pretty solid player, solid addition, especially as a free agent. So, yeah, it's good to see that, you know, you throw Bradford in as well, some of the business they're doing. It seems very, very positive in West Yorkshire at the moment.
Yeah, Bradford moving things along nicely. Jit Reeves coming in.
Yeah.
Don Paulion as well, of course, familiar to Leeds United fans.
Yeah.
As well. And a couple of other things getting done as well. Tony McMahon signing his new contract too at Bradford. So they're coming along nicely. And it did look a little bit ropey for a couple of weeks, potentially.
Yeah, definitely.
The
yeah.
manager. But since then, since that joint statement where everybody came out and cleared the air, and Bradford have really moved on and kicked on.
Yeah, it's great. I think, you know, we were sat here and we were going, oh, we don't know what's going on. You don't know, we don't know where Bradford are going to go, what's kind of the thinking behind a lot of it. It's great to see that, you know, they have now really, like you said, put something out to say, look, this is the man we're backing in McCall. This is what we're going to do, and we are going to back him. And they have backed him. It's no secret that Bradford don't have the biggest budget, I think it's fair to say, but the business they are doing is very positive. They're taking some very talented players in League One, plus some up-and-coming ones as well. Don Paulion, he's, like you said, known to Leeds fans. He's not had exactly an overly prolific spell, but he's still pretty young. He's still got years ahead of him. And, you know, Charlie White was pretty similar. At one point, he didn't exactly look overly prolific, but he came in, scored goals. So it's good moves. It is really good moves. And it's not, you know, going over the top in throwing money at players who are maybe a division above. They're getting very good players for this division, and of course that helps when you're looking for promotion.
Indeed, nice steady business so far from Bradford. Sheffield Wednesday, of course,
yes,
they splashed the cash big in the last couple of seasons. George Boyd came in yesterday, free transfer from Burnley.
Mm-hmm.
Good signing.
Really good signing. Really, really good signing. He's top player at this level. Good bit of business as well when you think you're not quite sure how much money they actually have Wednesday this time round, purely because the Jordan Rhodes thing, that 10 million fee is going to come onto this window. So I think he's trying to work out all the financial fair play. But yeah, fantastic signing. I think it's an area that they could do with improving. We talk about Wednesday and the strikers they've got, but in terms of out and out wide players, they're a bit thin. So to get someone like George Boyd is fantastic. And you feel for Wednesday, if it's going to be, it's kind of got to be this year if they are to go up. It has got to be this year. They've come close twice, got to the final, got to the semi-final. They've still got pretty much the same squad then, but they keep adding to it. So looking really positive, and this is another good move for them.
Mm. And a player that's played, I can't remember any games he played last season in the Premier League,
exactly,
but he played
yeah.
a lot for Burnley. Bit surprised that maybe they let him go. I think he was offered a one-year deal, but wanted the second year on the contract. But for a team like Burnley, maybe surprised that they don't keep hold of players that have got them there and got them up, even if they're going to be more squad players. You look at other clubs like Stoke, still wheel out the likes of Glenn Whelan and players like that.
Players that can do a job.
From years ago, keeping those players who have been part of the squad for a number of years.
Yeah, it depends how you look at it, because, of course, Burnley, the Michael Keane money, I think it was pretty known that he was going to leave. They were going to get some money in from someone because of the number of talent players they've got. So maybe that's obviously kind of the thinking that they are going to be reinvesting it. But for Wednesday, it's worked out brilliantly that he has come available and they've been able to pick him up. And that's the thing. If you're Sheffield Wednesday, you can attract players purely because you've got a good squad. You can say, we want promotion. And you're going to go, well, as a player, you believe them because of the past couple of seasons. Massive fan base, massive stadium, all the right things about a club that you'd probably want to join. So, yeah, for them, it's kind of maybe Burnley should have kept him. But fair play to Wednesday. They've seen the situation. They've pounced on it.
Indeed. So we'll hear from him now. Interesting, though, actually, because Burnley upgraded Ross Wallace with George Boyd, and now Sheffield Wednesday pretty much probably doing the same thing. Ross Wallace, you would imagine.
It's like it's a bit of a nightmare for him, isn't he?
Yeah.
George Boyd. He sees George him when Boyd. He's like, oh, God, this guy again. Maybe that's going to be the contract of his next club.
Potentially. George Boyd, then. Here we go. Here he is speaking to Sheffield Wednesday player after he signed yesterday.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Obviously, I'm delighted that it's all done. It was a long summer, but as soon as I knew the interest, it was a no-brainer for me.
You said just walking along there, these summers go very, very quickly, and I guess this one's no different.
Yeah, it seems only a couple of weeks since we ended the last season, but excited to get go. I'll be back in tomorrow and raring to go.
So you're just looking forward now just to getting back out there on the training pitch.
Yeah, it'd be nice to meet everyone tomorrow. I know a few of the boys from Scotland and obviously David Jones from Burnley, so it'd be nice to meet everyone tomorrow and get going.
Does that help, knowing a few of the lads already?
Yeah, it always helps. You don't want to be the new kid at school and not knowing anyone, so it's nice. It's settling me easy, and David Jones lives near me, so I can commute in with him. I think it's important. You want to get a full pre-season under your belt, and obviously I can start tomorrow and build in with a few weeks and get ready for the season.
Now, you come down from the Premier League into the Championship, you're looking to get back as soon as possible.
Yeah, I want to come straight back up, and obviously been close the last few years, and hopefully I can help get us over the line on this third time. So it's a club that needs to be in the Premier League with the fans and the structure of the club. So it needs to be in the Premier League.
And tell us what George Boyd will bring to the table.
A lot of energy, I like to work hard, and hopefully a lot of assists and goals, which is what I pride my game on. And on the wing, hopefully a lot of goals and assists.
And some stats tell us, of course, you've got fantastic work rate in the Premier League. Very, very impressive stats. Is that something you can bring down to the Championship?
Yeah, I think when we won it with Burnley, it's vital for a team to work hard, and it's a big part of my game energy, and I think there's a few lads with big engines in this team, and that can only help us get promotion.
Favourite position?
It'll be on the wing. Last few years I've been on the wing, so as long as I'm on the ball and creating and scoring goals, that's what I want to do.
Is it either wing?
Yeah, either wing's fine. I mean, as I say, left or right wing, I've played most of my career, so it's not too bothered to me.
And you've played here a few times and scored a couple of goals, as I recall.
Yeah, with Peterborough, we had some good results down here, so it's always a great crowd, and I can't wait for it to get started.
The kind of atmosphere you're looking forward to here?
Yeah, I mean, the derby obviously will be a big one for us. To live in that atmosphere would be amazing. So there's always a big crowd here, and obviously that can help with our home form.
From Barnsley to Bradford, the FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Sheffield Wednesday's new signing, George Boyd, talking to Sheffield Wednesday player after signing from Burnley yesterday. We just nearly had one of those Mourinho notes moments.
Yes. Tom McGuire
came
info.
In the studio with a secret note about something that's coming up in the next kind of 10 minutes or so. So stay tuned for
exciting.
That.
It's exciting.
But yeah, he put it on the desk and I think there's just a little bit too much light shining on it for you to be able to read it.
Could have been in trouble then.
Yeah,
could have been in big trouble.
Yeah, nearly got some state secrets out of us there. But we'll crack on. We've done Sheffield Wednesday.
Yes.
Sheffield United continue to be linked with players. Alex Bruce.
Yes, he was pictured training with Sheffield Wednesday last week. I think he's been at Burton as well, maybe, but I think it's kind of one to watch. I think that'd be a real good addition if they do go for him. They've been recruiting players from kind of below, from League One, League Two, which is fair enough, a good policy, but I think you can mix it in with some good, solid, experienced players as well. So, yeah, it's continues to be positive at Sheffield United, really. There's never been a point, to be honest, most of last season and this summer where that positivity's gone. But it's good to see that they are continuing to make moves, and if this is something that does come about, I think it'd be a good addition.
Barnsley, another player departing from last season's squad, Mark Roberts, heading to Aries Revolution at Birmingham. One signing's coming in, though.
Yeah, I think Birmingham were looking at John Terry as well. Obviously, with a Harry Redknapp type there, they always were. But Mark Roberts, I think, came in when it was clear that he wouldn't be joining them. And again, for Barnsley, it's a bit disappointing that, you know, after last January, after previous windows, they've again sold another player like that. You could probably understand if there is that kind of negativity around. But the season suffered a bit, but didn't suffer massively as much as it could have when some departed. But then they have bought Lloyd Isgrove in. Very good player. It's kind of proven it at both League One, at Championship level a bit as well. So, good moves. I think they just need to... Obviously, they don't want to get into a cycle of being a selling club. They can bring players in, but they had some real talents there that's going to be tough to replace. So, they are bringing players in, but it's disappointing, I think, to see players like Roberts go.
Makes the job really tough next season when you, as we, I think last time we were on the show, looked through about 13, 14 teams that you can make a case for in the playoffs. Some of those further down the list, you can make even more of a case for now. The likes of Birmingham, who are making signings.
Yeah.
Aston Villa, of course. We'll talk about John Terry in a bit. Really tough for Barnsley next season. And Rotherham, I have no idea what's been going on at Rotherham. Update me, Tom. Is there a revolution on the Paul Wall now?
Well, you know the Alan Partridge shrug gif. It's pretty much for this. Tom Adeyemi, of course, was at Rotherham on loan last year. He's joined Ipswich. He's the subject, right? This is something that's come about and it needs addressing / stopping. There seems to be a thing at the moment. This is the in-trend in football of, you know, signing announcements. Clubs seem to be trying to outdo each other. So, of course, John Terry at Villa was that WhatsApp chat, if you've seen it.
I've not
awful.
Seen it, yeah.
But yeah. Yeovil did one. You know the new Snapchat update where you get that map where you can see all your friends are?
Nope.
You're not... All right, sorry, I forgot you're old. Essentially, it's a map where you have, like, your little animated characters of people and all your friends on it. You can see where they all are. And the idea... It's sold to you as that it's not a stalker app. It's kind of you can see what your friends are doing and like the, you know what they're doing. But anyway, they did it through a player, so it zoomed in on like their stadium, and he was there. And the little story was like, I can't remember who it was. I signed for Yeovil. Yeah, that was all right. Anyway, Tom Adeyemi was the subject of this, and it makes no sense. It's not even like a clever one. It's just kind of an announcement that. That they could try and like make it, I don't know, it's like a dig at Norwich where they badly Photoshop him into a Norwich kit. He's actually in an Ipswich. It's terrible. But he was part of this trend anyway that needs to stop. That needs to stop immediately. It's gone too far now. It's gone too far. Rotherham haven't done it, but Ipswich have.
Right, well, yeah. That's great.
And they've also signed Jamie Proctor. But the thing is they need to avoid... terrible signing videos.
Okay. Hamza, they got in touch on Facebook before and said, good topics for discussion. I think he's probably taken that
back. He's gone right, yeah. No.
He could delete those.
No, they'll disappear. It's a genuine issue in the Football League at the moment. League needs to come out and put a statement out. Say, stop it now. Come on. Grow up. That's all he's saying it.
Okay. Right. That pretty much
that's how we got to that. Oh, yeah, Tom Adeyemi.
And possibly... Tom's time on the show. Thank you. We'll kick on. We'll take a break in. We'll hold the break because
okay.
We might have something coming up very, very shortly to bring you. So we'll kick on into Football League news right now. And oh yeah, there was the WhatsApp for John Terry. I don't have to watch all these now.
Watch him.
But he has signed for Aston Villa, the legend Steve Bruce.
Yes. It's
surprised?
A bit, but then apparently he didn't want to come up against Chelsea. That's why he didn't sign for another Premier League team. It's like, well, surely then you'd retire, wouldn't you? If you don't want to come up against your old club.
FA Cup third round.
That's what I mean, yeah. They're just going to get drawn against each other, aren't they? But I don't know about you. It's a fantastic signing in terms of to have that type of person around your squad, around your changing room. It's massive. He's won, you know, pretty much all you can win in English football. But I think it's going to be a bit of a culture shock for him. I think when you spend so many years playing at the very top level, playing in Champions League, playing everything, I think to come down to a league where at times it's just scrappy. You know, we have seen games where it gets to a point where you're just trying to do anything you can to win. I think it's going to be a bit of a shock for him. I'm not sure how many games he will feature in. But, yeah, overall, as a person, in terms of personality... what he's won, I think it's quite a good addition to having, and of course he's getting on a bit, but he's still got the talent ability there, and you can see a lot of players learning from him.
Obviously, Villa have had a lot of problems in the dressing room over the last couple of years. So obviously, Steve Bruce trying to sort that out. But having someone like John Terry in there, who is a natural leader, whatever you say about him, he's the kind of guy that would go in that dressing room. He'll be able to knock a few heads together.
Yeah, I think if, you know, they could have... You look at it this season, the season Villa have had... Of course, it wouldn't have happened, but if they had it this season, you could maybe question what would have been different. But you know, when the times are a bit tough, they're struggling, you can imagine someone like John Terry's going to stand up and say, no, look, this is what we need to do. Really, like I said, knock some heads together, get people going. To add him to your squad in the Championship's fantastic, and especially to come on the back of a successful campaign in Chelsea where they won the Premier League, it makes it even better. So, yeah, very good addition.
Villa for the title?
I don't know. And like you said before, we made a case for about 12 teams getting promoted. I'm really not sure this year. I'm really struggling for who can win it, but they've got to be up there, haven't they? They've got to be up there. I think if they're going to be aiming for top two minimum, I think they might be even disappointed with playoffs, but they've got a very strong chance, very, very strong chance of winning the league.
Some managerial moves that have happened. All the jobs now, I heard Andy Lawson say a little bit earlier on afternoons, have now been taken across English football. Good news, finally.
Yeah.
There's been some dragged on for quite a while. But Simon Grayson took the Sunderland job, and he's been replaced today by Alex Neil, of course, formerly of Norwich City. At Preston, hey, Alex Neil going in. Is that, I think, good appointments by Ball?
Yeah, definitely. I think the Sunderland one, for them, is fantastic. They've got Simon Grayson in, who's a good manager at this level. He's got every team he's been at promoted, I think, or every club he's been at has been promoted by him. So it's fantastic. I think I'd question maybe why he'd want to go to Sunderland at the moment. They're going to be subject of a big rebuild. Maybe, you know, if they truly give him a long-term project to go at, then fair enough. But is there such thing as long-term in football anymore? I'm not too sure. But I think, I'm not sure if you're looking at Sunderland at the moment. Are they genuinely a better shout at promotion than Preston? Realistically, I don't think they are. I think there's...
Yeah, I'd say so.
I think there's too much to do. They've come off... Like Villa, they've come off the back of an awful Premier League season. It's going to be a big ask for them to go, right, turn it round. It's not like Newcastle, who came down but had a world-class manager at a Premier League standard team. Got a lot of rebuilding to do.
There is, but then I think Preston is just... They've got no money. It's just running its course for Grayson, I think. If he stayed there another season, I think his luck might run out and he might have got the sack by Christmas. It's difficult once, you know, 2-3 seasons when you just don't get there, you don't have much money, and then other teams come in. Look at the division, it's so strong. I can't see Preston being...
The thing is, though,
top 15 this season, just can't.
But then at the same time, can you see Sunderland being higher? Really? I think it's a case of... Preston might struggle this season, fair enough, but you've got to... You're not going to be up there with Sunderland at the moment. At this current moment in time, you look at what everyone's situation is, and Sunderland aren't going to be anywhere near. So is it overly an upgrade? I mean, no one knows what's going on at Sunderland in terms of the ownership. There was the takeover talks. The chairman decided against it in the best interest of the club, he says. So you're kind of asking, going, well, is there going to be money available? Is there going to be this? Is there going to be that? You're not sure. I don't, you know, at this moment in time, is there any indication that Sunderland are going to have money as well? Because currently they're looking at loan players from the Premier League. Youngsters are the ones to be linked. I think they're trying to get Aidan McGeady in as well. But I just don't know. You look at the club situations and I just think that as a Championship level manager, just why would anyone really be appealed by Sunderland at the moment? Because all they had going for them before was that they were a Premier League club. They were a Premier League club, and if you wanted to play in the Premier League, then fair enough, Sunderland were there, but they're not anymore. So it seems a bit of a club where it just doesn't seem that positive at the moment. But like I said, Preston, Alex Neil, they've moved very quickly, so it doesn't really damage their pre-season, and very, very solid appointment for him.
Indeed, we shall be back in about 30 seconds time on the FL 72 with some breaking news to one of our West Yorkshire clubs.
Daytimes with Danny Parkinson.
Hello, it's me, Danny Parkinson, from the Radio Yorkshire Daytimes. Join me every weekday for big guests just like John Carver.
But they did try and play an expansion game and... You know, Leeds fans should look forward to that.
For angry rants or wrong answers of a financial quiz...
Newcastle Rock.
Newcastle Rock?
Yeah.
You mean Northern Rock, which was a building society, which is now extinct. And dreadful impressions of Chris Tarrant.
We don't want to give you...
it's a mixed bag, that's fair to say. Every weekday from 11 till 2, join me on the Daytimes here on Radio Yorkshire.
Daytimes with Danny on Radio Yorkshire. Monday to Friday from 11. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back, Sam and Tom, with you through until 7. Now, we told you a little earlier on, been talking about Tom Ince signing for Huddersfield Town. Well, they've made another addition, and joining us to talk all about it is our head of sport here at Radio Yorkshire, Derek Clark. Evening, Derek.
Evening, chaps. How's it going?
Very good, very good. And just got even better for Huddersfield Town. Go on, break us the news.
Yeah, groundbreaking stuff. It's Casey Palmer, of course. He was a favourite when he was at Huddersfield Town on loan last season. I can confirm that he signed another season-long loan deal with the Terriers. So he'll be here at the John Smith Stadium until the 30th of June 2018. It'll be a good signing. I'm sure the Huddersfield supporters will be delighted at that one. Remember, he impressed in his loan spell last season. He was out, of course, for about 4 months and then made his comeback in that playoff final win against Reading. He's received a terrific reception when he came on. I spoke to him after that game and he said he'd love to work with David Wagner again, and he's got this opportunity to do so. Of course, he signed a four-year deal with Chelsea yesterday. So Chelsea, of course, think highly of him. But it's a terrific coup, I think, for Huddersfield Town to attract him to the club for another season. And I think if they can keep him fit, he'll be a valuable addition for next year.
Yeah, I was really impressed with Casey Palmer last season. And obviously Chelsea impressed with him as well, to give him that four-year deal. But a great opportunity for the player to kick on in familiar surroundings, but this time in the Premier League.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I think there's no way he's going to get into that, break into that Chelsea team this season. I think it's just too strong for him to do so. He will get a run of games in the Huddersfield side, though. There's no doubt about it. But I mean, when Huddersfield held a press conference last week to announce David Wagner signed that two-year deal, I asked him what the likelihood is of Izzy Brown and Casey Palmer coming to the club next season. He says it's unlikely both would come. Because of the loan rules state that you can only bring one player from one club on loan. So that would mean that they might look at an Izzy Brown permanent transfer. So I'm sure the Huddersfield Town fans would welcome that. I'm not too sure what sort of figure that would take to bring Izzy Brown to the John Smiths, or whether they'll pursue that, because, like you say, earlier on in the programme, they've bought Tom Ince for what looks like a club record fee. I'm led to believe that Danny Williams, the Reading midfielder as well, the former Reading midfielder, not back at a new deal there, so he's a free agent. I'm led to believe that one should be announced in the coming hours as well, so that will strengthen their midfield again. I think that'll be another good addition going into the Premier League. So they certainly look strong in that midfield area, it has to be said.
And important for Town to get those players back that were so pivotal in the promotion from the Championship. They did it with Aaron Moy last week. Casey Palmer, another key figure. You mentioned Izzy Brown. Now, do you think there's a lot more business to come from Huddersfield?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. They've been busy. They've not messed about. They've got the Belgian boy from Porto in. He looks like a powerful centre-forward. It looks like Stefan Mooney, I think that's how you pronounce it. He'll be coming from Montpellier. He's over in France at the moment because their president died suddenly. So he'll come over after the funeral. I think the funeral was today. So he's pretty much put pen to paper as well. So they'll announce him. So strike from midfield up to up front. They're certainly strong in that area. They've obviously signed the goalkeeper on loan, the Danish goalkeeper. Because Danny Ward, unfortunately, won't be coming back to the club this season. Jurgen Klopp wants him at Anfield. I think they just need to strengthen now in the defensive areas. I think they need probably another couple of centre-halves and maybe a full-back as well. And I think that certainly Huddersfield will be trying to strengthen in those areas in the coming days and weeks. But yes, hats off to them. They've not messed about. They've realised, David Wagner's realised, they're going to have to invest and maybe buy an upgrade, a player for their assault in the Premier League, and they're certainly going about it the right way.
Excellent. Derek, thank you very much for joining us.
No bother.
There we go. Derek Clark, our head of sport here at Radio Yorkshire, speaking about that breaking news. Casey Palmer is returning to Huddersfield Town on a season-long loan from Chelsea. Tom, your reaction?
Yeah, it's a good move. Very good move. Like Derek mentioned there, that they had the problem with Casey Palmer and Izzy Brown, which way they're going to kind of do it with the loan rules. So to bring Palmer in on loan, look for a permanent for Izzy Brown as well, I think it is fantastic. And again, we spoke at the start of the show about how positive it's looking in West Yorkshire. It's just looking so positive at Huddersfield. Signings already, more to come. It's really good.
Yep, fantastic stuff for Huddersfield Town. We'll continue talking Football League news in a few moments' time.
Football chat and much more. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
There we go. Richard Shawright, a man in the know. Will Tom Cardiff also be ITK? The kids call it.
That's what the kids are. Just trying to get down with the kids again, Sam. We spoke about this. Yeah, maybe.
We'll find out a little bit later on when the Summer Transfer Centre will be with us. But right now, we're continuing to talk Football League news. Can't remember where we got to. Alex Neil, Grayson. Yeah, so you were saying, weren't you, that you think Preston will be higher than Sunderland?
I don't know. I think they'll be...
Come on, Tom.
No, I think they'll be in that area of the table that doesn't matter. Like, you know, where you're between 12th and 18th, where...
Who's finishing higher?
Preston. I just think it's
a
case...
Bit. I'm going Sunderland.
All right.
But I'm writing in my notes.
The thing is, the point... I just don't see what going to Sunderland is going to get over Preston. Even if they finish higher, it's going to be like 3 places. Doesn't matter. Like, I don't think they're going to get promoted.
Well, no. But then, I don't know. Overall, yeah, but I just think as well, on a Saturday when you go in, there's going to be more fans...
I don't know.
It is, come on.
Not Sunderland, surely.
Come on, if you've been to Preston.
Yeah. It was the last game of the season, though, fairness. There were loads of people there. But I just don't get what he's gaining out of it. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough. Alex Neil in at Preston as Simon Grayson's replacement. Is that a dangerous one for him? Because for me, Preston just don't have any cash to spend. It's a difficult league. A bit like Barnsley this year. I think they're going to struggle. Mm. Maybe not to the extent of Barnsley because of the amount of players that they've shipped out. But having been sacked by Norwich to then come into another tricky job, let's be fair, Simon Grayson's done an unbelievable job at Preston to get them where they are. I think if most of the managers, Preston would be down the bottom end of the table fighting it out for relegation.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Preston strike me as one of the... I don't think they're going to be in relegation trouble. There are teams worse than Preston. I mean, they haven't got much money, but they haven't got a terrible team. Like, they've got... It's an all right team. It's not going to set the world alight, but it will do a job in the Championship. I just think there are teams that are worse than them and are going to struggle more than they are this year. And now, Alex Neil had this spell at Norwich. This is quite new to him, I suppose. You look at Norwich's team finances available compared to Preston's and you go, right, fair enough, there is a difference, but maybe this is the type of thing that would appeal to him, that challenge that is there. And, yeah, of course, you know, at the same time, you've got to look at if you don't take a job now, are you going to get a job until November, December time when managers start going? I think it's kind of getting yourself in a job now and seeing what you can do. But I can't see them being relegation candidates.
I think bottom five next season. I think it runs out.
I don't know. I can't see it. I think they're just going to be mid-table again.
Telling you now, bottom five next season, Preston. Wolves, what's going on there?
Wolves.
We talked about Wolves before, haven't we? This super agent guy.
Yes.
I don't like this kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's what it's going to go well or it's going to go terrible. I can't see it being a middle ground. It's going to pay off or it's just going to completely backtrack to a point where they're throwing £18 million at a player. They did this last year with Helder Costa where they threw a significant amount of money at a player. Again, the agents in charge, so obviously they're going to Porto, where he has links to Portugal, where the links are. They're signing players, but £18 million. Do you need to spend that in the Championship? Do you need a player like an £18 million player who can come in? You know, you can get that with... You can't just expect one player to do everything and combine it. It's trying to buy success, and it doesn't always necessarily work.
No, particularly when you're signing from abroad.
I think,
like, if someone...
Yeah.
If using, like, the Jordan Rose thing of that being... That means that's 10 million.
Yeah.
But if someone who came down now, say Villa, if they spend big, signed someone for 18 million who's done well in the Premier League before, then you could...
Yeah,
you can see that as a good sign. I just can't see how coming in a guy at Porto who's worth 18 million quid coming into Wolves with their current state. Just don't see how that works.
I just can't see. There's I was going to say I can't see the appeal, but I think it's pretty obvious what the appeal is to switch Porto for the Championship. But I mean, the Championship's a good league. We all know it. But you're playing for Porto. You're touted as one of the up and players within Europe, etc. Where it just seems a bit of a bizarre one that Wolves would go for this. They would put the money towards this. I understand as an owner, you know, they've got a foreign owner who wants to be in the Premier League, but at the same time, you've got to be asking, why are we spending £18 million on a player that we're getting from Porto for the sake of it, where Newcastle spent a lot, but in fairness, they made a lot from Sissoko going to Spurs. But they kind of looked to the Premier League and went, well, if we build a team for the Premier League now, if we, you know, if and when we go up, we're going to be stronger next year. I just can't see the idea and the logic behind going to Porto to get an £18 million player, where surely you'd probably benefit more from getting free players for £6.5-7 million who are going to play around the park and, you know, or in various positions are going to contribute more to the team that way. I think by doing that, you're essentially going, well, you're going to be expecting him to do everything, surely. Your kind of expectations and everything is that he's got to be absolutely brilliant every game. It just doesn't seem logical to try and do it that way.
Yep, I'm with you there. Burnley, they've tested the water with Nottingham Forest.
Yes.
for Britt Assombalonga.
Yes.
Would that be a good sign? I think he'd be able to step up to Premier League level. He's got a decent scoring record when you actually
look at it. I think it's just the injury problems that he's had. Could maybe affect it, but I think he deserves a chance at Premier League. It's fair to say he's not going to do it at Forest the way they are currently. So, yeah, it seems that Burnley want that more mobile striker in terms of they looked at Naki Wells, or the rumours they're looking at Naki Wells. They've now gone to Britt Assombalonga. I think £8 million, you're probably not going to get it when you look at the going rate for a striker is going more towards £15 million now. But of course, Burnley have money to spend with the outgoing transfers from this week. So, yeah, I think it'd be a good addition for them. And for Forrest, if he does end up going, you could get money, but it's a big hole to fill in the side that, you know, not necessarily can be filled by getting someone else in.
Indeed, you've left us with an impressive one here, Tom.
Yes, Matt Fryatt, remember him?
Yeah, with Burton.
Yeah.
He was on a high, why don't you?
Yeah, I should have put that further up. It's just one of those where you kind of go, okay, how's he going to do now? Because he's been pretty decent before, but then he had the injury problems, didn't he, I think, and now he's at Burton. It's more for a point of, is this the answer Burton need? They got Luke Murphy in on loan, season-long loan from Leeds United yesterday. I don't know if that's the way forward. I mean, they don't exactly have the best individual players there anyway. They have added the likes of Stephen Warnock, etc., which is brilliant. But I don't know if this is the type of signings they need to make to stay up.
No, Luke Murphy, yeah. We've got a question actually from Wayne Thornton that's coming on Facebook saying about Diarraga wanting to stay and fight for his place instead of going out on loan.
It's difficult because you don't know what style of football Thomas Christian wants to play. I think Leeds wanted to play a quicker brand of football last season, which is why someone like Diarraga, who's not the most mobile, would struggle. And if Leeds want to replicate that, if, you know, having a look, apparently that was the way at Cyprus. They were quite an intense team that he had at Apoel. You know, they wanted to play with that kind of that intensity, that pace. Is Diagara going to fit into that? Probably not, but you can't see in the amount of central midfielders Leeds have already got and the amount they're looking to bring in as well. You can't really see him having a future as a first team Leeds player. He might end up, then I think fair enough to him, but I don't know. I think it's probably better for him. It was one of those where it was obviously a Steve Evans signing, where we're still at a time of Massimo Cellino where the signings were out of the manager's hands or head coach's hand. This was obviously a Steve Evans one where he wanted to get one player in for himself. And it kind of showed last year that he wasn't suited. So I think it's probably better for him if he does probably go permanently. I can't see the point in loaning him out. I just don't think he's going to be useful to Leeds in the future. So even if, you know, it's probably not going to be the biggest fee, which is fair enough to say, but it's off the wage bill. Yeah, and I think just for him personally, it's probably better to say, you know, I want to go permanently than as opposed to a loan.
And just lastly, before we take a quick break, before we do summer transfer centre, I saw this on our sister channel, Proper Sport, earlier about Blackpool, that they're keeping the same home shirt as last year.
Really? I haven't seen that.
You rarely see that these days.
That's... Yeah. See, Blackpool is... Blackpool's is an interesting one because isn't it something about their merchandise sales weren't that big anyway last year?
I wouldn't have thought so. I wouldn't have thought many fans would want to put money into...
But at the same time, it's a money maker regardless, isn't it? Just putting a new home kit out every year or new kits out every year. That's why teams do it. Yeah, this is... I missed that one completely. It's... I suppose not a surprise when you think it's Blackpool that are doing it. But yeah, it's really bucking the trend of kind of modern football and, you know, the patterns we're used to.
Yeah, I thought it was just a bit strange. Yeah, they're getting a bit of stick, but then, to be fair, people criticise every single season teams changing their home shirts when they're sticking with it. So maybe just a little bit back for the fans, but knowing Blackpool, probably not. let's do some transfer news.
Yes.
And the summer transfer centre well and truly open. And we've got a bit more time. Normally we're rushing through this.
It's good, isn't it?
We've got a few minutes to chat.
We've come back off holiday with better timing.
Indeed, yeah. Or just less content.
Maybe.
But we can have a good chat about Johnny Howson because there's a few people been asking questions.
Yes.
On Facebook tonight. A few of you are asking the same thing. Johnny Howson, it seems like Middlesbrough are going to win the race to sign him.
Yes.
Would you have liked to have seen him go back to Leeds United, though?
Yeah, definitely. Without, I hate the in-the-knowy trend, as Richard Shawright alluded to in the Sport on Sunday promo, but it's led to believe it was mentioned at Leeds. But at the same time, Leeds' transfer policy this year, I'd be surprised if they get anyone, domestic player-wise. They seem to be going abroad, so he may have been mentioned, may have been discussed, but it's that case of, for £5 million, are the current hierarchy at Leeds going to say, you know, we could get him in for £5 million, but we believe there's a better player somewhere in Europe we've identified in this league who is cheaper, it's going to cost less than a week, and, you know, it's probably going to be better. I think it would have been, for Leeds, it would have been a good move if, for example, the buying back of Ellen Road wasn't going to happen. It's a signing that I think a lot of people could have got behind. You know, a Leeds lad previous at the club, a good spell at the club, a lot of important goals. You look at Carlisle away, the Bristol Rovers at home game, he's contributed a lot. But Leeds don't really need that positive PR anymore at the moment. You know, if they did, someone like Howson, if not just contributing on the pitch, but would bring that positivity as well. Yeah, Leeds don't need that at the moment, so I would have liked to see him back, but at the same time, you're going to trust the current Leeds hierarchy with the way they're going, what they're doing. So yeah, it's disappointing, but you've got to move on.
And for Middlesbrough potentially signing him,
yes,
it's just another one, isn't it? You can still picture the scene 12 months' time, Gary Monk, arm round Johnny Howson, lifting that championship trophy.
But then I think the question would be then, is it someone that Monk mentioned to him at Leeds and now he's gone to Middlesbrough and he said, well, I want Housen. Or is it a, oh, by the way, I know Leeds want Housen, so I want him. But you never know. It's like that question that you put, you know, it seems that now putting two and two together, it was probably, you know, someone Monk wanted to bring in. I think he'd be a very good addition at this level. Norwich still need to make a bit of a clear out in terms of, you know, the parachute payments are coming to an end. They need to cut back. They need to drop the wage bill. Housen's been identified as a player they can get a bit of money from. And is also a decent earner that they can ship off. So for Middlesbrough, it's a good addition. I think for any promotion chasing team in this league, it's a good addition. And, you know, Middlesbrough looking strong already. Just got a bit stronger if Housen comes in.
Yeah, Middlesbrough doing some decent business so far. On the Leeds thing still, Carl North says, we need a left-back. Any rumours? Come on, Tom.
Do Leeds need a left-back? Because Berardi slotted into that. He was out of position, but he still did very well. Tyler Denton as well. You're going to question what Leeds' policy is going to be now, because under Chiellino it was clear that they wanted to bring the youngsters in. It was apparently the same in Italy, where you develop youngsters in, sell them on. I guess that's, from a business perspective, pretty decent enough system. Connor McLaughlin, Fleetwood Town, was mentioned as well. He was rumoured last year, although, as it came out last week, he's heading off to Millwall. I think that's going to be finalised and done. But I can see it being a position that they could adjust to. But I think fullback at the moment, you're looking that you've got Ayling and Coyle, who's headed out to Fleetwood, who can play right back. But you imagine there must be a recall in there, if needs be. And Brady and Denton as well, who can play left back. So I think for Leeds, it seems to be having identified kind of the spine of the team. They need to try and bring a centre-back in, of course, trying to get Belushki out as well, as areas that do need improvement. So I think when you get to a point where you've got three players who can play, especially a left-back position, it's going to be difficult to keep players happy, because I think, you know, to drop someone like Berardi or Ayling out of the team after the season they had last year would be, I think, just a tad unfair on, you know, they did what they needed to do and don't really deserve to be dropped out.
With Charlie Taylor seemingly going to sign for Burnley.
Yes.
Phil Hay of the YAP tweeted earlier that they're renegotiating about a fee rather than going to the tribunal. Would you prefer that as a Leeds fan, get that money in the pocket now rather than it being drawn out?
Yeah, I think you want that certainty, don't you? You don't want them to go, we'll probably get 5 million at tribunal, for example. Or we'll probably get, we think we could get 7 million at tribunal. You go out and buy a player for 7 million, it turns around and you go, oh, actually, no, we've got 4. So at least you've got the certainty there. That's the thing about tribunals. Burnley know they've been there recently with Ings, wasn't it?
Yeah, Danny Ings. They thought they'd get more.
Yeah, you've still got a hefty sum.
But
you just don't know what it's going to be. You can say, we think this, or it could be this, but at least you've got the certainty there. And Leeds need to get rid of him. Now, it's a case of they're still paying his wages. Because if they want compensation, they still need to pay his wages, even though he's out of contract. So you want to make sure you get a good fee, but you just want to try and get him off. He set the tone for kind of the end of his spell when he refused to play at Wigan. So, yeah, I think the quicker they can get it done, you imagine there's been plenty of dialogue. This has been rumoured for a while. The quicker they can get that done, the better. They can then reinvest that money into the squad, you imagine. And the other targets they've got. But for Burnley as a player, it's a very good addition. As a player, the only thing that concerns you now is that kind of attitude is there, that may, what if he's in a similar position at Burnley where he wants a move, is he going to do that? You don't know, but on just, you know, the playing ability, it is a very good move.
Now we are running out of time, so you've got pretty much 90 seconds to tell me about four more transfer stories, with Sunderland.
Yes, Sunderland, who you said are going to storm the league, set to swoop and sign Browning and Galloway, the Everton duo, on loan. So there's the money bags being truly thrown out there. Of course, Crystal Palace as well. Joined Newcastle in the race for Hull wing. I keep forgetting about Hull dropping out into the Championship. They've just gone under the radar a bit since the relegation.
Grzycki in Yorkshire News next week.
Yeah, should, shouldn't I?
Big Hull section.
Yeah, I'll write it in capitals. But they're going for Hull winger Grzycki this summer, £9 million rated. And then finally, Ipswich Town remain favourites to sign Dominic Samuel from Reading. Saw a brilliant picture of Mick McCarthy, retro fashion from like the 80s, 90s. Saw it on Twitter. It's brilliant. It looks stunning.
Right, we'll have to tweet that out.
I'll put it as the podcast cover.
What are you saying finally for? Could you print out a whole new sheet?
Oh, yeah, the second page.
On Facebook.
The second page.
With one transfer on it.
Oh, you didn't notes on it, did you? Derby County apparently rivaling Leeds United. This is another one that was linked with Leeds. Polish international defender Bartosz Salomon. So there we go.
Cheers for that, Tom. Thanks very much. Homework for next week is Hull City Yorkshire News.
Yes.
You just completely forgot about them. But there we go. That brings us to the end of the FL 72 for tonight. Tom Maguire is next with the evening show. And, well, we'll be back at the same time next week.